Suns, and you know we up next. Yeah, yeah, we working for that championship ring. We the Valley, it ain't nothing but a thing. P-H-O-E-N-I-X. Phoenix Suns, and you know we up next. Yeah, yeah, we working for that championship ring. We the Valley, it ain't nothing but a thing.
Welcome, everybody, to the Aussie Suns Fans Podcast. Boyd is not acting like Mickey Mouse, so I'm assuming he can hear us. We are here live.
Wow.
We're ready to roll. Boyd is joining us and is not holding his hands to his ears. How are you going, Boyd?
I am great. Guys, I've fucking figured it out. Guess how I'm doing this? I am using the brand new StreamYard app.
That's amazing.
There's an app now, and it's in beta. So I had to download this other wanky fucking app, and then get this. But it's in testing stages, and it fixed my problem. And I can see the fucking chat.
It's all happening for Boyd. It's all coming up, Boyd. It's all coming up, Boyd.
It fucking is.
Hamo, welcome along with your fucked up face.
Yeah, a little bit more fucked up than usual. Thanks, mate. I got stung by a bee, guys. It's a lot better than it looked the other day, so just bear with me. I know it's bad enough having to look at me as it is, but yeah.
Hey,
to be honest, the bees improved shit. It's just a heads up, mate. The bees improved shit.
Gav, yeah. Can you get them photos up at some stage? It looks like Hemo got bashed by his missus. I'm fucking sure of it. I'm sure that's what happened.
Go for it.
We don't. Okay, we now have official approval to put those photos up. So I will. I'll get them up later.
Why not?
You're a fucking shit bloke, Boyd. Apologies, everyone, for being late. I finally got a night out. I've been working till midnight every fucking night of the week. And I finally got a night out with the wife last night. Didn't get. And that's not what you think. It's not what you think. We've been together 15 years. We certainly weren't doing that. Just went out for the night, got home at the early hours of this morning, then decided to sit up and watch the cricket for a while, which our American viewers will have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. But I sat up and watched the cricket for a while and went to bed at about 3:30 this morning, and then woke up this morning and found out that I've got fucking more sleepovers at our place with the cousins and all that sort of shit. So I had to run around and fix them up this morning. So apologies, guys.
Never ends.
Gav, yeah, I'm rough as fuck, boy. Yeah. Remember, last time you were on the piss, we couldn't find you for 2 days.
Oh, Gav, let's just circle back for a second. It's not the 15-year thing, the reason that you're not getting any. That probably stopped about 3 months in, brother. You're fucking... You're not much to look at, man. So, yeah, there's other layers. There's layers to this, as Gerald would say.
That's a low shot.
My internet dropped out there, so I have no fucking idea what you said. And I don't think I
want to go. Carry on.
You fucking piece of shit. Another big week in Suns basketball. Another week that we potted, and all the shit happened the day after. So the good news is that Suns fans, if you're here, if you're listening, listening to this today means something good's going to happen tomorrow. First up, the first thing that happened, Cameron Payne was traded to the San Antonio Spurs. We gave him to the Spurs for absolutely nothing. A protected pick that isn't going to convey. And we also sent them some cash. But there's a reason that they did it, Boyd. $27 million in cap space. What's your thoughts there?
No, it wasn't. There wasn't any cap space in it for us at all. It was the tax saving. It was
Tax saving.
So we're not fucking. We can't even say the word tax space for a long time. Cap space for a long time. We gave them a second round pick. They gave us a second round pick, a fake second round pick. And we gave them some cash. They took on the $6.5 million, and because of the tax of what is it, $3.50 to every dollar that you go over a certain cap limit, you are you get pinched with the tax. So yeah, it was a massive saving as far as tax goes. But I think ultimately, and everyone, and there's a lot of people that agree out there, campaign, his days were numbered after Eric Gordon came on board.
Aaron Gordon.
I'm fucked too. I'm not even hungover, but I'm spent. But yeah, no. As soon as Eric Gordon came on, we've got so much playmaking now. I think we're really, really right in that space. And at the end of the day, campaign, he's going to get minutes and he's going to get a chance to showcase his talents and get himself another contract. He's only just entering his prime. What is he? 28? He's 27, 28 year old. Campaign. He's not an old duck. So yeah, man. Look, good for him. It's sad to see him go, but at the end of the day, we're sorted in that regard, and we got a lovely addition.
Hello.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a money decision and a smart one. Thank you, campaign. It has been good. However, coming into this. You know, the start of the preseason kind of thing, we need to be counting pennies. And that has helped us out a lot by moving on from campaign. It doesn't help the argument for us having a solid point guard. But yeah, I mean, it had to be done, man. All the best to him in San Antonio. It's really not much more I can say than that, man, eh?
Another one for me to be completely wrong about. I don't think campaign plays a single minute in San Antonio.
You think he'll get moved on?
I think he'll get moved on in either a trade or they'll waive him. But I'll reiterate what you two said. Thank you, campaign. It was a big part from the bubble. He was a really Hell big yeah. part of Hell the yeah. culture that the Suns created, everything else. He put all his effort into Phoenix. He loved being here or being there. And he was great for the Suns. So good luck to him. All the best. I don't think he'll play in San Antonio, but wherever he does end up, all the best, Cam. Hopefully they do waive him and we can re-sign him to the trade exception, because that's what Suns fans like to do. They like to trade for whoever it was that we fucked off. So, yeah, look, good luck to campaign. Secondly, Bol Bol signed. Finally, we had the debate on last week's show why the fuck hadn't he done it yet. It was clearly tied to what the Suns were doing with the campaign thing. And don't forget, with the campaign thing, even though the San Antonio pick, we're effectively not going to get with the restrictions that are on that second round pick, but we did trade for 3 second rounders. And as Boyd said, our favorite pick swap, with Orlando. So our world famous pick swap that we've done 752 times already, is now we've done that with Orlando and picked up another 3 second rounders. So, overall, how do you think we ended up? 4 second rounders, 1 heavily, tied up, which I don't think we'll get. And we signed Bol Bol. Basically, that's for Cameron Payne. Boyd?
So, what do you... We didn't really get 4. We got
3.
We lost 1. We lost one in the campaign dump. We lost one. So, we really... And we got 3. We got 3 back in the pick swap.
From Orlando. Yeah.
So, really... At the end of the day, what we get is we lose campaign and we lose a useless pick swap.
Second round.
So we lost. And a pick swap. Yeah. So we gained. What we gained was Bol Bol and 2 second rounders.
Effectively.
Yeah.
3 second rounders, but one of them very, very tied up.
Yes. Yes. Correct. Correct. And so what do I think of it? I mean, yeah, look, campaign, unfortunately, as I just said, he wasn't going to do much after we got Eric Gordon. And Bol Bol, I don't think he's going to get much burn either, just quietly. But he's a project. It's nice to have one eye on the future. And what is it, the 10 toes in thing? We've got 9 toes in and one sitting there with Bol Bol, just fucking hoping that he does something special. But, yeah, again, I'm still not super excited about Bol Bol. Let's just see what he does. And, yeah, hopefully we don't need to see him. If I'm being honest, hopefully we don't need to see him because everything else is just working as it should.
You're wrong. Hopefully we do get to see him because that means we're 25 points up with 3 minutes to go.
In that regard, yes. Okay, cool.
Hello.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how I was going to work. I've been, not that this is a great judgment of how our season's going to go, but I've been waiting until the roster gets ironed out before I get too excited and playing with the new team on 2K. It was fun having Bol Bol on 2K. It very much was. I wasn't a big fan of it when the idea was floated. The more research, the more highlights I've seen, things like that. As long as he can stay healthy, man, he's going to be a good asset for us in the long run. He really will. His size alone on the defense and that is going to be great. So, yeah, I hope we get to see him play in our colors, and I hope it works well for us. I really do. I think I've got a good feeling, but I've been wrong before.
Well, we all saw Twitter. He's slotting straight into the starting lineup according to NBA Twitter. Who's going to beat this squad with DA, Book, Beal, Durant, and, of course, Bol Bol. But I think Boyd's exactly right. He's back-of-the-bench type of guy. He's going to get burned at the end of the game. The good thing is, you know how those last couple of minutes when you're absolutely flogging someone or getting flogged, you put your bench players on and it sort of goes through the motions? Bol Bol could fucking do anything. He's the type of guy that could fucking drive the entire court past 7 different players and do a reverse fucking over the back dunk. So when he does hit the floor, it's going to be exciting. It's not going to be boring.
Yeah, like Cody Kidd saying in the chat there, Bol Bol's for the fans. And it is going to be, yeah, it's going to be good, man, especially down the end of those long game stretches and that when we need to rest people and stuff. Yeah, it's going to be good.
I love this from Howard. Bol Bol is the human victory cigar. I love it. That's exactly what he is.
How do you see, I just hope it doesn't fuck with, I'm more excited and I hope it doesn't impede on, because I'm more keen to see Tumani take control in them garbage minutes. Hopefully Bol Bol doesn't do that. Who's that? That Jimmer Fredette thing where he fucking fucks Booker over in that game to get that 50 burger or 60 burger or whatever it was.
Jimmer.
But yeah,
fucking Jimmer.
Jimmer. Hopefully he doesn't do a Jimmer and fuck over Tumani. Yeah, I'd prefer us to put more stocks into that kid rather Bol Bol, but let's see how the cookie crumbles.
Well, we can have both of them. We can have both of them doing it and doing the magic. Doing the magic for the last couple of minutes of those games that we're 7,000 points in front.
I love it when they do the magic. I fucking live for it. I can't wait. See them guys do the magic.
we do love the magic. Now, before we go on to our next topic, there is something that I have to bring up and I have to ask about, right? We all love Boyd. Boyd's our favourite. He's everybody's favourite. He's definitely his own favourite. But Boyd, we had a conversation during the week about you coaching under 11 sport. And I just for the fans out there, I just want to clear it up. These are 10-year-olds. Are you out there dropping F-bombs and C-bombs and everything else when you're coaching under 11s?
I I keep it to a minimal, man. I do drop
them. It's a struggle, you can tell.
I do drop them. I don't drop the C-bombs, but yeah, I get very passionate. Like these guys, these kids, they don't always. It's really frustrating seeing the product on game day not be the same as what we put in at training. And I've been using.
Are they any good? Are they any good?
Yeah, we've got some guns. We've got some real guns.
Okay, where are you on the ladder?
They don't do ladders in under 11s in rugby league.
Fucking,
so,
fucking
hey, these days. No word of a lie. I used everything that you guys want, as in wins, is on the other side of hard, boys. Everything that you want is on the other side of hard. This is whilst they're doing hill sprints.
That's gold.
In winter. They're all getting up and down the hills, and I said, come on, boys, come on. You know, well done's better than well said. Just fucking, I'm dropping the Monty-isms and fucking.
Of course you use fucking Monty-isms with your fucking love of Monty.
These kids are looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
All right, I got a challenge for you. You got a coach today, right?
Yeah.
I need you to get somebody to film one of your addresses. All right, whether it be pre-game or quarter time or half time or whatever, we need to film that so that we can use it on the show. And I need you to tell the kids at some stage that they're not there to fuck spiders.
Win, 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 win.
Man.
Throw everything else out the window. Win, win, win.
I've got some fucking parents that might be out for my fucking scalp if I drop that one. I'll have a crack anyway.
You need to slide it. I will approve the removal of the word fuck. And maybe, you know, we're not here to shag spiders. Whatever.
Copulate.
Fuck. I'll see what I can do.
There's your challenge. There's your challenge for today. Get somebody to film your address and drop in, we're not here to fuck spiders.
Yeah.
Because you drop an F-bomb every now and again, so there's nothing wrong. Yeah, surely the parents will be okay with that. Just give them a heads up beforehand. Listen, guys, this is what I've got to do. I've got to do it for the fans out there. I've got to bring some glory to the fans. The fans want to see it. I have to deliver.
Yeah. We'll see, mate.
There's no chance we're ever getting that video, people. but it'd be nice. And before we do move on to the next one, Hamo, what the fuck, man?
That's a good one, man. Show the other one.
Fuck, I only saved one. Which one?
Yeah. The one where it looks like it went 10 rounds.
So Hemo didn't make the bed, and his missus just gave him the fucking big don't argue. but yeah, no, that's fucked up, man. You look like Quasi fucking Moto in that fucking.
Like, you're not the worst part is
all you need is a bell tower and just do the old quasi fucking hobble.
I haven't had to have a day off work since February, man. And this week I got myself a brand new Harley. That's the one.
You're talking about this one, am I?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Got myself a brand new Harley this week, man, and I can't even put the fucking helmet on and go for a ride.
You were already ugly.
Fucking wrong.
That's fine.
I know. That's just fucked.
That's quality. Hey, lads, we're getting a G League team. Matt Ishbia has gone out, made it very clear on the Burns and Gambo show that within 2 weeks we'll be announcing a G League team. What's
it's
your
good,
thoughts
man. It's exciting.
On the G League team? Yeah, go, Homo. Tell us about it.
We haven't had one for a while. You know what I mean? And it's one of them brilliant opportunities where we can utilize those two-way contracts and so forth, you know, call-ups and put-downs, I guess you'd call it. But it's an opportunity for blokes like Two and some other players who need that little bit extra time to learn in a setting that's professional, and it actually means something. So I'm excited for it, man. I really am. I hope it's going to be what it has been in the past for other teams, and no, we're not going to shut up about it, Coda. We didn't talk about the damn G League.
Boyd?
Yeah, it's cool. It's not my fucking money buying a G League team. It's cool. And,
it's not Bobby's money either.
It's cool in the sense that we get, you know, the guys aren't just sitting on their hands. The young guys, the projects, you might see some, you know, Tamani down there getting reps. That's all very nice. He can get them in the gym during training with our boys if he wants as well. But I suppose having that competitive, you know, place that they can actually play against other ex-NBA players and other projects. What I really like is the fact that, so we're going to be able to, so there's going to be people foregoing college and going straight to G League, right?
It has happened a little bit, right? Obviously, Scoot did it last year, so we're starting to see. Originally, they were coming to Australia, those guys. We've seen LaMelo Ball do it. It came through Josh Giddey. Who was that other dude who's done fuck all that played for the Breakers? RJ Hamilton.
Hampton.
RJ Hampton, whatever. Fucking shit.
If I understand it correctly, there could be a five-star recruit playing for our G League team. If they forgo college and don't want to play international, they can do that and then they can nominate to be in the draft. Isn't that an unfair sort of scouting tool for whoever, whichever G League team gets that player? Like, isn't there some sort of coercive acts that can take place if that's if they're setting it up like that?
Not with how the draft works. It's the same as Scoot, right? Didn't matter where he played, he was going to get picked where he got picked. You get a superstar, and they're going to go number one. Just because they play for your G League team.
But as you get down, down late lottery, even
still
in
have to draft them or sign them to free agency. So it's not going to be an advantage or a disadvantage because teams can still sign these guys or still draft them. Realistically, say from a coercion point of view, the only way it becomes a coercion point of view is if they don't get drafted at all. And it comes down to sign a contract for as a free agent for one of these NBA teams. Honestly, if they don't get drafted and you're going to sign them as a free agent, who gives a fuck? They're not that good.
Forget about them guys, right? Think about the amount of times that certain players haven't supplied medical records for certain teams that are looking to scout them, who they just haven't worked out for because they do not want to play for that team, where you've got agents telling teams that know he's not going to be happy there just to push their stocks down. But could you, I just feel like if you've got a full season to get in a kid's head from your G League team, you could coerce them to maybe warn people off in the 20 to 25 20 to 25th pick range and just say, hey, no, he wants to go elsewhere, don't pick him. And you could see some of that. I think it's if it is happening the way that I think it's happening, and there aren't strict rules and regulations around how much access the team that owns the G League team has to said player, I just think it's great for us because we've got lots of fucking shitty second round picks, and if we can get like a decent role player come to us who's about to be drafted, we can say, mate, just fucking tell all these fucking teams to fuck off and we'll take you. We'll definitely take you, but you just got to get down to 45th pick. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on what we own and where we own them, right?
True.
I can't seem to find the information that I'm looking for. Does this new TV deal, this free-to-air TV deal that ISPY has put together, does that include the viewing of the G League games as well?
No idea.
Because it'd be good to get the kids some exposure and, you know, national, well, maybe not national television, but local television, get used to the interview processes and things like that. If it is part of that deal, then I think it's really good for them.
I don't think it will be. We don't even have the G League team yet. So, look, eventually, possibly, but the way plays at the moment, there's no way that I think the G League owns their own rights anyway. When it comes to actually playing the games, they're pretty hard to find.
Hey,
you can't find them on League Pass. You can't find them anywhere else. So I'd say it's very, very unlikely that G League games would be part of what ESPN is doing with the streaming service. Yeah, boy.
How do we get access to ESPN's fucking streaming services over here, Gav? Without League Pass,
we don't. So currently, it is only for residents within the Arizona area. The question was asked whether or not he was going to look to expand it. I think that's a hell of a lot trickier when it comes to rights ownership and all that sort of stuff to get outside of the Arizona area, whether it be other states in the US or internationally. So fact of the matter is, internationally, NBA owns the rights.
I'll shoot him a message.
And they're going to maintain it. Midge asked, is there any other team that doesn't have a G League team? Somebody else, there's another team that, and is it Portland that announced?
No, we were the last one.
Yeah, we're the last one, but somebody else was also didn't have one, but they've already announced that they're having one, and it only just happened. I'm not sure, but there's the ultimate answer to this is no. We were the last team without a G League, or an announced G League. So look, I think ultimately we need a place where our players, our listed players, particularly with some of these younger guys that are on the list, if they're not getting any burn, we need a place to be able to send them. And you know, if Bol Bol and Kamara and these guys aren't getting any burn, they can go back to the G League, they can play. But also the thing I do like about this is the fact that this is a really, really nice place to find two ways. So if the G League's out there playing and you have somebody on the G League squad that's performing really, really well, it's an easy elevation offer two ways. So at the moment, the Suns have to go out hunting to find their two ways. This is a nice little platform a proving ground for us to actually find some two-way players. So it had to happen. It's the best choice for the Suns to have it. So well done, Matt Ishbia, again. It's another thing that he said he was going to do, and he's delivered on.
Yeah, and that's you are right there, Gav. The other team was the Rip City Remix.
Portland,
yeah.
So
yeah, thought it was.
Do we think Isaiah Thomas is going to coach the G League team, or is it going to be fucking? Is it going to be Jake's special boy, fucking Patrick Ewing?
Patrick Ewing. Yeah, might be Dwight Howard. Isaiah Thomas is not going to coach G League.
He's got enough shit going on, man. He ain't going to be coaching.
Hey, quickly, Gav.
Yes.
If someone says not KNOT, what the fuck does that mean?
It's when you tie a rope, like the tie a rope. Not.
Did you see it used in that on that Twitter chat?
I ignore that Twitter chat, basically.
No, it's in the other one.
No, I didn't see it. When was that?
Dervish of Well, fucking poor from Fanning the Flames. Used it in regards to in like a new lingo. They use the word not. It means something else. And I just want to get up on the times, bro. I thought maybe. Why do I think you fucking know?
I think he's misspelled something, or something's autocorrected.
Okay.
Because that doesn't fit that sentence at all.
If anyone in the chat knows what the fuck we're talking about, please let us know.
You want to read that message out, Gav?
No, I do not.
Okay.
But be part of a something with a not her dude who was dressed like a girl.
Yeah,
that really sounds bad if I don't read that. So Dwight Howard is being sued for sexually assaulting a dude, allegedly, and forcing him to be part of a threesome with a not her dude was dressed like a girl. So it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit.
Okay, cool. All right. I spent fucking 10 minutes Googling that shit this morning to try and understand. And
it's on Urban Dictionary.
This is it's
an autocorrect, my friend. Autocorrect. Let it go.
No, I'm not letting it go. This is why. And when you're talking with people and they say, oh, just fucking Google it. Like, fuck you, man. We need to fucking talk to each other and help each other along in this fucking wild world.
These crazy times, man. These crazy times.
And we love talking. We love talking. That's our thing here at the Aussie Suns fan. Talking. Yeah.
Talking shit.
Get the fuck off. Get the fuck off these the interwebs and talk to people. Boys.
After boys, this podcast, though.
Now, at the risk of developing and growing a list of haters, I know we've got plenty of them, but at the risk of growing them even more, poor DA, he's upset. He feels the haters. I'm sure you saw the video. But Boyd, what were your thoughts on DA's comments?
Let Hammo go off in this one.
All right, Hammo, what do you think of DA's comments?
He's normally kept those kinds of things pretty close to his chest. He hasn't really let emotion boil over to his interviews and things like that too much, in my opinion. Look, everyone gets hate. Everyone gets shaded in some way, shape, or form at work, family, whatever, down the pub. Someone's always putting shit on you. And sometimes it breaks. Sometimes you can't take anymore. And I get it, man. I get it. He's been really, really hounded by media and trolls and people like me. And he just finally had enough. But I think mentally he's probably going to be in the best place he has been in his career with the new coach, with the new staff. I think he's going to be much better. He just needs to express himself, man. And, you know, unfortunately, that is the way of the world at the moment, where it's too easy to sit behind a keyboard, too easy to start a podcast, too easy to put shit on someone that you've never met, like Ben Simmons, you know. But he just had enough, man. And I feel bad for him. I really do.
You DM'd Ben for his birthday, didn't you?
I didn't DM him. I just put it out there.
So,
and I've got to stop that shit too. I really do.
So I read I read what he said in that interview in text before I listened to it. I listened to it like a day later, and I saw it all. But the way that it was portrayed, and the way that it sounded, just by reading it on the Twitter. I thought to myself, fucking fuck off, man. You fucking rich motherfucker. Fuck off. Just go fucking cry in your fucking wads of money, cunt. Like, just fucking get back to business and fucking get off social media if it affects you so much. DA. Then, Gavin, then I listened to it and he wasn't whining. He wasn't like all the commotion that was going on about DA on the Twitter. He wasn't really whinging. He was asked a fucking direct question, and he answered it, and then he followed it directly up, almost in the same breath, with, I'm just gonna get out there and fucking get the job done next season, and I'm gonna work on it. So, you know, a lot is lost in translation when you see that shit straight up in text. It can make you feel different things to when you actually watch it, but ultimately. He didn't lie. He has been copying it from a lot of fuckers on social media. But he wasn't whingy
for a long time.
He wasn't. There was no whingy tone about it. It didn't really bother me after I listened to it. I actually was more excited after hearing it. And move along like fucking. There's nothing there.
And that's out of there too, Boyd. The text is the main thing. I mean, even between us, there's been words that have been misconstrued because there's no inflection, there's no voice behind it. You're only reading it. So that's half the problem.
It's a problem when you can't read properly like me.
You'll never get that from me. I'll just fucking tell you. Whether it's text or the other way. No. That's look, end of the day, DA, I look, as fans, we're going to be critical of players. He cops it because he's the number one pick and he's on a $30 million contract, and people aren't happy with the output that he is putting forward. And it's reasonable for fans to call that out. It's not reasonable to attack the guy personally. It's not reasonable to go way too far with someone. And they said it on the PHNX pod. Go and hit the search button and type in DeAndre Ayton and have a look at some of the shit people post. It's fucking disgusting. Right? Now, I've always been a DA defender, and I'm still a DA defender. I still think he's an excellent defender who changes shots at the rim. Yes, he doesn't have fucking four blocks a game, but he does change shots at the rim and people miss, and it gives us that opportunity. He's a very good switch defender. He can defend on the stretch. That's going to help him with Vogel. And particularly from the part where we're going to play drop coverage and he's going to get to sit basically in the key and play that defense, which allows him to change shots. I think that that's going to work very well. Even on the pick and rolls or the high intensity, the fast offense that we're projected to play with the squad that we've got, that's going to work for DA, because when he does hustle down the floor, he gets to really good spots and he's going to get opportunities. Now, that's all we want to see, right? Now, we said it last week. Oh, well, I said it last week. I think towards the back end of last year or last season, and I'll still think it, even as a DA defender, what he gave us wasn't acceptable towards the back half of the last season. His effort wasn't there. It wasn't good enough. And I think we should be able to call him now for that. The guy gets paid a lot of money to do that. I listened to it as well, and I agree with your point. I don't think he was whinging. He was just making an observation of what happens. But the fact of the matter is, from my perspective, I sit there and go, well, if people are calling you out on effort, then respond to that effort. That's what you're saying you're going to do, then respond to that effort. If we see that, if Phoenix Suns fans see that, they're going to be more than happy with what you're delivering on. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah,
and 100%,
man. And for every single negative tweet about DA, there was another parallel negative tweet about Monty Williams being one of the root causes for it happening. So both can be true. There can be blame on both sides, but it's a matter of this is how players evolve. It's never a smooth sail. It's there's always going to be bumps in the road. It's a fucking bump. He's in a much better spot now. Let's just see him put that shit on the court.
And that's all where I think we're all, and I always hate saying this sort of stuff, but all real basketball fans, that's all we want to see. Anyone who's out there personally attacking players who play basketball, I don't care whether you make $30 million a year, whether you make $100,000 a year, whether you make $35,000 a year as a waiter, whether you make nothing because you're on fucking unemployment benefits. Everybody has mental health and reacts differently. Anybody who's attacking these players personally is pathetic. You know, have a fucking look at your own life.
And this is what I've had to do the last few days. I mean, there was some beautiful words put up there by Saul Bookman. Bit of back and forth with him, and so says Jay. Unfortunately, it was after Ben Simmons' birthday, and I'd already sent that tweet. But it's taken, the struggle is real for everyone. It really is. And I'm going to take this small opportunity to apologise to Mr. Simmons for taking it way too far over these last couple of years. And you may think there's going to be a smart-ass ending to this, but there's actually not. That's just my straight-up apology. He doesn't deserve to be spoken to by someone like me in the way that I have. And I will try my hardest not to do this.
Stay in your lane, Hemo.
I will try my hardest not to do this to any other person in the future.
Ben Simmons.
You have to do that. We have a flog of the week.
You can eat Ben.
You've already mentioned my flog, so I'm going to have to change it up on the fly. But it's not
right.
You
don't have to change
people
it.
Like me get on there and jump up and down on people for what they do. So, Mr. Simmons, this is... I know you watch. I apologise.
And this is my problem, right? With stuff like this, the Coda kid put in there. They went after his kid. Like, are you fucking fair digging? That's the same shit that Chris Paul has to deal with people going after his kids. What the fuck? Anyway. And you fans who think that's appropriate to act that way, I'm not sure the Coda kid used this in the right context. They just need to stop fucking spiders. It's probably in the wrong context, Coda, but that's it. But, yeah, well said, Hamo. And, look, we all have to take a lesson. We get sucked in at times. We will all form our own opinions, and we'll all have those opinions. But we've just got to remember, whenever you're going to attack somebody personally about something that they do in their life, have a think about your own life at times before you do that.
100%.
And have a look, have a think about the things that you're going through before you start attacking somebody, because it doesn't matter whether you earn 30 million, it doesn't matter whether you earn nothing. Everybody goes through different things mentally. And Suns fans attacking DeAndre Ayton, mentally, personally, doing all of that sort of shit and then going, well, I just want the fucker to be engaged on the court. Guess what? It's those types of messages repeatedly that are going to mentally fuck that kid up so that he can never, ever deliver what you want.
Ever want to be responsible for bad case scenarios? You could have been the one tweet, you could have been the one message, the one video that sent that person over the edge. And that's not right.
My missus often tells me when I'm trying to come up with a solution or something, it's a blank stare. It's a, Boyd, you're not helping. You're not helping. And I'm on a fucking roll. But you're not helping, Boyd. This is not... Fuck. But, I wouldn't go at a player's kid. I still go at counts personally. Like, LeBron's hairline. Fucking, shit like that.
It's slightly good, different than good, attacking someone's family, man.
Good fun. There's some good fun in it. But yeah, it does get too much. It does get too much every now and then. And sometimes
we have to be better.
What if it makes you feel better when you put someone else down? What does that make you?
A fuckwit.
A cock.
All right, I'll stop there then.
You should. You're only talking about the shit you say to me, right? Because every time, you just attack me all the time and it makes you feel better.
I feel really, really good when you feel like shit and I don't know. Is it? I don't think it's...
Let me clear that one up for you. Not one thing that you've ever said has made me feel like shit.
I'll keep trying then.
That's because I'm above you. I'm better than you. I look down on you.
Fucking here we go. All right, you gotta prove that, mate. Let's see it. Fuck yeah.
All right. We're gonna move on. Shag, marry, kill. I'm gonna add a little bit of difficulty here, I think, for this one. This one's gonna be I think I've done well for this shag, marry, kill. I think you guys are really gonna have to think about this one. So shag, marry, kill, Matt Ishbia, James Jones, Frankie Fingers. Shag, marry, kill, Matt Ishbia, James Jones, or Frank Vogel, a la Frankie Fingers. Guys in the chat, make sure you throw in what your answers are. Also, if you've got any questions without answers, while I let these two think about this, questions without answers for the end of the show, make sure you throw them in the chat. We already have quite a number of really, really good questions this week. Anything you want to throw at us, make sure you do. But shag, marry, kill, Boyd, you said you've got it. Throw it at me.
I'm going to marry our main man, Matt. I'm going to marry that fucker, all that money, all the good stuff he's done. He seems like he can really provide for me with his $1 billion that he's got. So I can have expensive tastes. I'll change the way I live to get some of that Matt Ishbia coin. And I'll stay with him too. I'll stay on that meal ticket for sure. But we've got I'm gonna fuck James Jones. I'm not gonna let him fuck me. That's not the rules here. I'm gonna fuck him. He's a good looking bloke, nice guy. I'm gonna fuck him. And I'm gonna shoot Frankie fucking Fingers because I just really don't want to fuck Frankie Fingers because he's not gonna be able to keep his fingers to himself. And the rules say you can't do that, Frank. You can't do that, Frank. So Frankie Fingers, you're getting shot in the face. Sorry, bud.
Frankie breached the rules.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to help himself, the dirty bastard. He'd be into it. Yeah, so that's what I got there, boys.
Hamo.
That is a very good this is a good one, man. You've outdone yourself on this one. Yeah, I'm marrying Matt because of the money. Straight up. I'm a whore. The next two, it's hard, man. Like, Frankie looks like he'd be a cuddler. You know, he's a big guy. He'd be providing some warmth. But I can't kill James Jones, so I'm going to have to shag James Jones. He's a brother, so he's probably hung like a donkey. And, you know, I guess I'd enjoy it. But,
hey, I just told you the rules, Hemo. You don't have to let him fuck you, but if that's your prerogative.
That's the way I wanted to go down, yeah.
Okay.
And to be honest, I can't bring myself to bed anyone that's had anything to do with the Lakers.
You little tart, you. You're
going to love it both ways.
Going for it.
You do right. Me.
There was a Dwight Howard joke coming up there, but I'm not doing that shit anymore, guys.
I am shagging Frankie Fingers because for the reason the boy said, he's got the fingers. I'm shagging him, but I want to see the fingers like that. That shit added additions. Really, that's adds a bit of excitement to the show. I'm just going to go against all of you here. So because fuck you. I'm going to marry James Jones because I think he'd be an excellent housewife. He clearly does everything that his boss tells him, so he'll do everything that I tell him. Keep the fucking house clean, James. James, make sure that I've got my slippers and hot beverage when I get home from work. And I'm going to fuck Matt Ishbia. And I'm going to fuck Matt Ishbia while I'm married to James Jones. So that's going to be my side piece, is Matt Ishbia. So that's my fuck, marry, kill.
You're going to keep on fucking him?
Yeah. It's going to be ongoing.
Okay. You dog. You fucking dog. And who are you shooting? Frankie Fingers?
I'm killing, what did I say? Oh yeah, no, I said I was, I'm you're shagging fucking two dumb. Of them. I'm
you're not fucking killing dumb. Anyone. you're
fucking, you
you're keen fucking, I'm gonna, that I'm goes just, wrong with one of the men's
I'm changed. I'm gonna switch it. I'm gonna have to pivot here because I fucked that up. And I'm gonna go with Hamays. I'm gonna kill Frank Vogel because he hasn't coached us yet. He's not officially coached a Phoenix Suns game, so he's still a LA Laker. So I'll
dirty,
him,
dirty Laker.
So you're rooting all of them. You're fucking. You're just like, yeah. I'm gonna root him. I'm gonna root him.
That's how excited I am about them. I'm gonna fuck you.
Let's go.
This shag marry kill has not improved my standing from last week. I will say, he called out for sitting on the fence. I'm still clearly sitting on the fence.
You've learned a little bit about yourself during these questions.
Oh my god. Anyway, questions without notice, gents. Let's roll. I've got some great questions without notice. Thank you to our friends on Twitter for sending these through. It really is appreciated. We do enjoy questions without notice. So if you are listening, you do have questions, DM me on Twitter, send a message on Facebook. Make sure you keep it separate to everything else so that we can keep it a secret from these guys. But we really do love answering these questions without notice. And we should maybe change it to hashtag Ask the Aussies. Actually, fuck it, I'll do that right now.
I like that.
But we really do enjoy this this segment. So, guys, keep firing through those questions. They can be about anything. We've already promised that we'd answer them to the best of our ability. These first questions come from at Elbow Jumper, Luke on Twitter. He sent us the first group of questions. The next group of questions come from Jerry, our friend Jericho, who was on with us last week. So, lads, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
The new revamped Suns lineup gets the Suns all the way to the finals. Who gets them there? E.g., which bench players exceed expectations and who gels best with the stars? So the question is, who outside of our core four is going to be the main reason that the Suns make the finals?
That's a really well thought out question.
Boyd, what do you got for me? Oh, Hammo, yeah. Hammo, go.
No, you're right, mate. Go for it.
Look, I will say I feel like outside of it's really hard. We don't really know much about who's going to be our fifth guy, let alone our fucking sixth guy. But if you're looking at, I'm going to say it's going to be an Eric Gordon. He's 34. Yuta Watanabe, I'm still holding him down as my fifth starter. And I feel like he goes in there, splashes a million threes, and is exactly what the starting lineup needs. And, But look, ultimately, I'm going to go with Yuta. But ultimately, it could be any one of probably three or four guys. It could be Eric. It could be fucking Diop. It could be Yuta, fucking, it's really hard. That's a hard one. That's a good one.
Great question. It's too easy to just say the bench. It's too easy, but you picked my one there. I'm glad you changed it because, Eric Gordon, I remember all the time when we'd play the Rockets, man, this bloke would just always be a pain in the fucking ass. Always. So I really think that he, will keep us going. Keep us on the track to the promised land. So, Eric Gordon for me.
Yeah, I think I'm also sort of Eric Gordon, I think. Just because I think that guy is going to... He's going to be so important when it comes to bench points. And one of the places 100%. We've struggled over the last couple of seasons is bench points. I don't think Eric's going to start, but I sure as shit think Eric's going to finish games. He's going to be very, very important. We're going to need points off the bench, and it's something that we've debated ourselves for so many years. It's one of the things that we personally have debated for so long. So, I think that Eric Gordon's going to be really, really important. And outside of Eric Gordon, because he does have a lot of experience, obviously, I think out of the new guys that have come in, I'm going to stick with who I think is the fifth starter, which is Kata Bates-Diop. I just think that extra player, whether it be Bates Diop or Bol Bol or Metu or whoever, Watanabe, whoever fills that role is going to be the important player, and is going to be the player that drives us to that next level.
Yeah, that's good call.
Next question. Not a lot has been made of Vogel's expected adjustments just yet. He used terms such as scrappy. What do you want to see the Suns do defensively and offensively?
I just want to see the communication. I want to see the the crisp switching. I think our guys on ball are all good enough for the most part. Not everyone, of course. You know, Bol Bol's a real question mark outside of the paint. He's one of the worst perimeter defenders out there. But I think, switching for mine is a big one. I think Vogel was going to instill that drop mentality, Gav, with the bigs. And but I think just in general, I think the communication and switching, they need to be on the same page, because it can just fuck everything up really quickly if you just have that one misread on defense and it's wide open and it just fucks the whole defensive play, the whole scheme. So yeah, just that communicative side, that what I think we lost with Jay Crowder, and I'll go back to that old chestnut, that part I think. And offensively, I don't want them to overthink it. We've got plenty of playmaking, not exactly the traditional specialist playmaker that we're used to, but just not overcomplicate things. Again, I think that they're all our three major superstars. I think that they're all none of them are greedy. They're not going to be shot hungry. We've seen it work with Book and KD. And I think Beal can slip right in there real nice. But again, let's just not overcomplicate it. And I just want it to be free flowing. Not like, I don't want it to get too ISO heavy. I want it to be, but I don't want it to be the 0.5 system either. There has to be a happy medium in there. Look, I don't know exactly what it is, but there has to be a happy medium there somewhere.
Hammo.
Look, on the offense, I'd like to see us get more, get back to the faster days. Like I said, I know it's not going to be 7 seconds or less, but the ferocity that we played with, the speed, the tempo, the aggression that we played with back in those days. Our good friend Jericho sent me a question during the week asking, do you think that if we don't run the same slashing, cutting and screens like Golden State to free up the shooting stars, we may be in trouble. I think that's a good call too. We do need to utilize, keep moving, keep everyone moving on ball, off ball, get those open shooters, get those open slashers, and just keep pounding away at them. Just don't give up. Just go hard. On the defense, just want to see consistency. That's been troubles with us for the last couple of seasons, consistency on defense. Sometimes we've let small leads turn into big leads and the game's run away. Yeah, we're all sitting there third quarter, it's just like, the fuck am we doing, man? Are you going to sit there and watch the rest of the game, or you just want to fucking forget it ever happened? So I appreciate Jericho's question during the week. And I tend to lean with him on that one as well. You know, the more flashing and cutting like Golden State do, will it free up our shooters or our scorers? And just consistency on defense.
Offensively, high octane, move the ball. Get the defensive rebound, off we go. I think that's going to be the best way that we can play this game. We've got guys that can control the ball and absolutely push it and put some pressure on opposition teams defensively. But if it does become a slowdown half-court offense, same thing. The guys that we've got, all three of them, are going to draw defenses into them. So defenses are going to collapse as our guys get to the elbows. And I guess we probably shoot a lot more from the elbows than anywhere else. But that's going to open up the remainder of the floor. So guys like Eric Gordon, Utah, the guys that can hit those outside shots and really cause the opposition defense trouble, which allows then for the floor to stay spaced, because that's what happened in the playoffs last year, was our guys on the outside couldn't hit those shots, so the floor, we couldn't space the floor. Denver's defense was able to collapse on us. Yeah. So from a half-court set piece point of view, We really have to be able to set the space the floor with those guys on the outside. But ultimately, I want to see us push the ball as hard and as fast as we can. From a defensive... From a defensive standpoint, nobody in the NBA plays defense anymore. As long as they compete, I don't give a fuck.
Listen to what you said. That no one plays defense. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no one plays defense.
Okay.
Not like they used to.
Just fucking sit on that for a while, mate. I shouldn't have to fucking go into that on with you.
You're gonna talk about the what I just said about the floor spacing? It was easy to play defense against us last season because nobody else could hit a fucking shot. They didn't play defense against us. All they did was stood in the way of Booker and Durant. Nobody else was a danger.
But mate, that's absolutely ludicrous what you just said.
Why is that ludicrous?
Did you see Aaron Gordon playing defense on KD?
He
went fucking hard at him, and he put him out of his comfort zone multiple times when KD should have been there fucking putting a fucking sword to him, and he played well, but defense
KD just couldn't hit a shot.
It's massive, mate. You can't just say they can't all just go sit in the fucking corner and take nights off. That's ludicrous.
I'm not talking about them just standing around doing nothing, but they've just got to compete on the defensive end. We play man-on-man defense basketball. As long as they've got that coverage, we're good.
Hey, so long as we haven't got all the open threes going to Josh Okogie in the corner, we're fucking good. We've got Utah there shooting 55%.
And Eric Gordon shooting from... 14
we'll just score more points than them, mate.
That's exactly right. We score 150, they score 140.
DA's the point guard.
Only need to win four games in the NBA Finals by a point. And we win. And we have a title. So that will work for me. I'd be more than happy with that. Next question. DeAndre Ayton's theme seems to be reclaim the love this upcoming season. How does he get there? How does DA reclaim the love of the Phoenix Suns franchise?
Whose question is this?
Still it's Luke's question. Yep.
He's got some good questions, man. Thank you, Luke.
Go, Hammer. What does DA have to do to reclaim the love?
Show up. Just show up consistently, man. You know, we blokes like myself and... You know, most of the people on this cast, man, we've always wanted DA to be DA. We know what his potential is. We know what his ceiling is looking like. You know, he always wanted to play in Arizona. He wanted to play for us. And I think the love is there. It's just been overshadowed by inconsistency. So all he's got to do is go out there and show us that he's trying to get better. I think that's... For me, I think that's all it's going to take, man, because people really, really want to love DA. They want a reason to love him, to get excited for him, to cheer for him. And I think consistency is the only way that that's going to happen.
Boy.
Well, all he has to do, and look, I don't think, I suppose it is becoming a bit of a narrative on him winning everyone back, but it's just going to be, look, the next time fucking Nikola Jokic is going up for a rebound and he doesn't get it and he goes up again and he doesn't get it again, just don't stand there and look at him. I mean, just little things like that. It's just that motor, the energy, the fucking, all the buzzwords that you hear about DeAndre Ayton. There's the effort, and that's all. The rest is already there. His talent is fucking, it's clear as day what he can do. It's just putting it together for a stretch of time while he's on the basketball court.
Yep, absolutely agree. Effort. We just want to see the effort. We want to see the body language. We want to see that he's engaged. If we have finals DA from a couple of seasons ago, everybody's going to be more than happy that DeAndre Ayton is playing for the Phoenix Suns. And if we see finals DA and that effort every single night that he takes the floor, he's going to be a top five center in the league.
Oh, man,
and that's all we want to see. That's all we want to see. Next question. Favorite prospective acquisition. Who are you most excited to see in a Suns uniform next season?
James Harden.
Hammer.
Hammer. Fuck off, man.
Who are you most excited to see?
I'm very excited to see Bradley Beal. I think it's sort of a rejuvenation for him as well. He seemed very happy in his interviews and things like that. He seemed very excited to be playing for us. He was wearing the same tie that he was wearing the night he got drafted. So it's a fresh start for him. And I think it's going to be some exciting games with him on the court. So, yeah, Bradley Beal for me.
Boy.
Well, when we finally get James Harden, it's going to be him. I just want to see the fucking train wreck in full motion. No, it's it could be any one of the proposed fifth guys, like the guys that we just want to see unlocked by this fucking monstrosity of a fucking this beast of an offense we're going to have. So I really want to say Utah, but I'm actually gonna double down on Devin Booker. Now
he's not a new player.
Oh,
the question was which new player?
Oh, it was new player. Okay, cool. Well, it's
he may very well be a new player next season.
It's Utah. It's Utah Watanabe. He is out of all the guys that we got. I think that he has the most, he has that one aspect of his game that is truly elite. And it's just, I just think he's going to be unlocked at a new level. And it's just going to be fucking, I think it's going to be really beautiful watching him go. He's our new Cam Johnson, man.
And you know what, on top of all that, he's a nice guy.
Is it?
He's a nice guy.
Nice guy, I think.
Look, for me, it is Bradley Beal's the obvious one. I'm really, really, I'm with Hammo. I'm looking forward to seeing Bradley Beal out there because not only did he get traded to us, he actually wanted to get traded to us. He had to waive his no trade clause to come here. So he wants to be in Phoenix, which is really, really exciting and great to see. But outside of that, the obvious, which is Bradley Beal, I'm really interested to see what sort of impact Eric Gordon can have on this roster. Particularly coming off the bench, what he can do defensively, what he can do from a floor-spreading piece, I think is going to be vital to our championship hopes. Whatever Eric Gordon delivers could be the difference between us winning the Larry O'Brien and not. I really think he's that much of a key piece for this team.
There's a case to be made for almost every one of our new additions. It's very exciting all around.
Joel, you are correct.
By the way, Joel's a fucking cockhead LeBron fucking dick rider. By the way, fuck you, Joel, mate.
All right. The more interesting questions now. These are coming from our friend Jericho, who joined us last week. Have you ever laughed so hard that you pissed yourself? If so, what was the situation? Boyd,
I damn near shat myself laughing. It was really good, and it was my mate. He had something wrong with his fucking guts, and he. I was a teenager, by the way. He had something wrong with his gut, something serious. It's something to do with some pancreatitis or something wrong with his pancreas. And he had to go to the doctors and get a camera shoved up his up his bottom, and on a big tube thing. And he called. We did a 3-way phone call, and he told me and one of
our other with someone up, someone shoved up his ass.
Someone had their hands up their ass.
Yeah, we did a 3-way phone call, and he told us about him being violated by this fucking camera. And I laughed for nearly 15 minutes solid at him, and he just sat there and copped it all. And I pissed myself a little bit, and I think I fucking sharted. It was a fucking mess. It was one of the best things that have ever happened to me in my life. It was fucking great. Anyway, yeah. That's the
best thing that ever happened in your life. Not meeting your wife, not your kids being born, your friend having a camera shoved up his ass was the greatest moment of your life.
It was hilarious.
During the
three-way. Hamo.
Look, it's no secret my memory's really not the best. So when it comes to remembering what made me laugh so hard, I can't really think of it, but... No, I've never pissed myself. But I tell you what, I laugh every time that Frankie V drop gets played, man. I just love the look on Boyd's face. It makes me laugh. And I just sit here sometimes thinking about it, just pissing myself laughing, man. But not actually pissing myself.
So, I think so.
Frank.
It's just quality. No, not for me. I've never pissed myself laughing. Just no. I've laughed generally mostly at myself or at Boyd's fucking stupid shit. But I just don't find people that funny, because when you're me, you only understand and know true humor when it comes from yourself.
The funniest person that you know in everyone's mind, yes.
I will echo that, Gavin. You are one of the most self-absorbed fucking into yourself guys I've ever met in my life. It's unrequited and fucking hilarious for me as well, watching it unfold.
Also, any time that we podcast with Jake, we always laugh as well, fallen founder. So, yeah.
Coda's tried to join us. Coda, your device hasn't connected properly, so jump off and jump back in. What is your best get out of trouble / get out of jail story?
Well, fuck, it depends on what I'm going to jail for, really. That's a real
just get out of trouble story. So have you ever had a situation where you've managed to get yourself out of trouble or out of jail? How did you do it? What did you do to get yourself out of that trouble?
Oh, fuck. You know what?
I'll give away all the trade secrets.
The best way to walk back something that you've done wrong is to be honest and transparent, and mate, take the front foot, accept it, own it, and fucking be truthful about things. If you're straight up with someone,
that's great. That's great.
If you're on the level with someone and you can look them in the eye and just say, "No, you're fucking right, righty, rah," and just fucking eat it and fucking, you're good. You can get out of shit. People will fucking accept that.
You are that is the most boring fucking batshit answer I've ever heard in my life. We are all dumber having listened to you for the last 30 seconds.
I think, mate, there wasn't enough context in that question for me to give a precise answer. So fucking fuck off.
I'll tell you a little story. Growing up in my mid to late teens, we had a mate and his parents used to go away to their caravan down the house every weekend. So we had the house to ourselves, and there'd be 12, 15 people there causing all sorts of havoc, playing music way too loud, smoking things we shouldn't. One night it went a little bit too far. There was people hurt. There was fire started. There was damage done. And we're all sitting there trying to work out how the fuck we're going to get out of this. What the hell are we going to say to his parents? And I'm just sitting there thinking. I started thinking about someone that we used to go to school with that we didn't go to school with anymore. And I said, it was him. Tell your parents it was him.
Blame some other cunt.
Blame a cunt that wasn't even there. And that they would not be able to find. The only way that story could ever fail is if this dude showed up like 10 years later knocking on the door like, hey, do you remember me from school? Other than that, perfect scapegoat.
And Gavin hasn't got an answer for this one because he's never fucking wrong, apparently, and he's so fucking hilarious and jovial and correct all the time.
Well, no, that's not true. I was wrong once, and that's there was a moment where I was wrong. It was a Tuesday. The time I was wrong was I actually thought I was wrong, but I wasn't. I was actually correct. So that was the only time I was wrong. For me, it was my biggest trouble story, I guess, was we wagged school one day, went to a mate's house to watch the NBA, wagged school, went up to his place, went out, got in a little bit of trouble. The police drove past us and we yelled out some abuse at them because we thought it was funny. They did the U-bolt, came back, put us in the car, took us down to the police station, said, we're going to ring your parents. And I managed to somehow talk them out of not ringing my parents and just letting us go and saving my ass from getting absolutely fucking walloped. And it was something as simple as that you misheard me. You thought I yelled out that you were, actually they thought we yelled out that we called them pigs, but there was a bit of that going on, boy. But at least
how you got out of it, Gav.
At least I fucking answered, boy, instead of going, oh, just be honest, it'd be an only mistake. You're a fucking wanker. If you could handpick any player to replace one of our starting five, who would that player be and why? Now, the question does have some exclusions, but I'm going to leave all players in because I think there's multiple answers here, and I don't think that I don't think it's going to matter.
Does his current players?
Who's our fifth?
Let's go with current players. So a current player to go into our current starting five. Who would you pick? Boyd.
Oh, fuck me. It doesn't matter who our fifth is because you'd throw in
Jesus fucking Christ. Talk about offense.
No, I'm going to give you an answer, mate. Just give me a fucking second. You'd have to throw in fucking Steph, wouldn't you? Steph Curry for me.
Who? So you're running. You want somebody to come in and run the ball?
No. Steph plays awesome off ball. He runs constantly. He'd score a million points a game, and the other guys are still going to get their touches. And he can. I think he'd be a seamless fit there.
Very nice. Ammo?
Our roster is pretty solid, so I'm going to go with my heart on this one. And this person will be able to bring talent to the team, but it's more about getting them a ring. And I would really like to see Derrick Rose get a championship before his time is done. So Derrick Rose for me.
And you're putting him in the starting lineup?
Yep. I know he can't handle it, but I'm putting him there.
Fair enough. From a roster creation, roster setup point of view, I'm taking Giannis. We need the power forward. I'm bringing the power forward in. And Giannis is the main man power forward.
And you're not wrong, mate. If we can pick any superstar, this is fucking easy, man. This is easy.
Well, I sort of left them out. All right, last one. Shag, marry, kill, koala, kangaroo, tortoise.
I'm going to marry the tortoise. Franklin, preferably.
Are you sending a lot of turtle porn?
Yeah. Well, sorry, koala? Was it the
koala, other one? Kangaroo.
Oh, I'm gonna fuck the koala, and I'm going to kill the kangaroo because that can probably try to kill me at some stage. So I'm not gonna root him, and I'm not gonna marry him. Koala, yeah, I'm fucking the koala, guys.
There's so many things wrong with that boy. So many things. Australia's one of the only countries, people out there from overseas, that we love to kill our national animals. So I'm killing the kangaroo because it's been done before. I'm having sex with the turtle, and I'm going to marry the koala. The reason why I'm not having sex with the koala is because there is a massive problem in koalas with chlamydia. So well done, boy. You've just gone and got yourself ED.
And there's a reason Hemo knows that they've got chlamydia.
I know useless shit. That's why.
Because he fucked a koala already?
It wasn't a bee. It's a koala.
I'm marrying the kangaroo so that it can carry my shit around in its pouch. I'm killing the tortoise because it's old as fuck anyway. And I've never had chlamydia, so why not give it a go?
Nice.
I'll fuck the koala. Alrighty.
Kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
So, Homer, please feel free to tell us anything.
Who do you want to have a beer with, boy?
Cameron Payne. Thank you, Cam. Thank you, sir. You made me feel good on many a game day with your fucking hype-up dances, and you just dance with anyone. Lovely, nice guy.
Nice guy.
I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss that big head having fuck. Fucking campaign.
Hello.
I'm going to sit down with Ben Simmons. We've got a lot of shit to talk about, man. So I'm having a beer with Big Benny.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
Everyone's waiting for the sarcasm, but no, there's not. I've got a lot of shit that I need to sort out with him.
I'm going to have a beer with my man Toby in the chat. Group that we have on Twitter, because apparently he knows ball. But I think that we, as a group, need to sit down with him, have a beer with him, and explain how the world works, because he's like 12, I'm pretty sure. So maybe he can't have a beer.
Time for the flag of the week. And trust me, they are ugly. Very unattractive. Google their face when you're done here.
Boyd, here's your flag of the week.
My flog of the week is it's that fucking pool. Ah, oh, fucking had it. Ah, oh, fuck. Hemo, who's your flog of the week, buddy?
Yeah, Hemo, I'm going to tell us your flog of the week.
Because I'm trying to do things a bit differently now and not bring people down. I'm going to go with the bee that flew into my truck this week and decided to fucking sting me in the face, yeah, put me out of action for a couple of days. All I want to do is a beautiful fucking weekend, man. I want to get on my bike and ride, but no. You had to come and sting me in the fucking face, you prick.
That's a fair call. Flog of the week is the bee, no doubt about it. Boyd, who's your flog of the week?
I'm just going to have to go with Dwight, but there was another one, and it was, I know you're going to steal it, Gavin. Dwight Howard for his fucking threesome with the fucking tranny and a guy and a girl that might be a knot or KNOT, a nautical mile, whatever the fuck, man. That cunt just needs to fucking, you know, put a lid on it. Fucking put it away. It's for pissing out of only, mate.
He was doing so good to redeem himself over there, wasn't he? And then fished it again.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give it to Dwight.
Lovely. I am going with Dan Bickley of Phoenix Media. Phoenix local media. Dan Bickley is one of the biggest fucking Phoenix Suns bashers in all fucking sport at the moment. He comes up with just the worst, dumbest, idiotic fucking takes every time that fucking idiot gets on the radio. Who the fuck lets that man on the radio? He's a fucking moron. Move on, put somebody on there who actually knows their shit. He cannot, in any way, shape, or form, and I hope you do fucking hear this, in any way, shape, or form, are you a journalist? None. You are not. Get the fuck off the radio. Get the fuck off writing. Get the fuck off everything else. Fuck off and go to Portland or something like that, or Minnesota. Nobody gives a fuck who you are. Get fucked.
A lot of people unhappy with him at the moment.
Hamo, where do we find you? Last comments. You're on mute. Can't hear you.
Sorry, guys. You can find me at Sir Hamo on the Twitter. I'd like to give a shout out to the fellow who did this artwork behind me. It's C4 Cartoons. That's Toons with a Z on Instagram. Not only does some great Sun stuff, but a lot of basketball players and teams in general. So be sure to check that out. And yeah, C4, it's been an absolute pleasure. C4 Cartoons with a Z. That's the one.
Mate. C4 Cartoons. Check him out on Instagram. Well done. Great background.
Great podcast.
Boy, last comments. Where do we find you?
Yeah, guys, if you want to check out some of my artwork that I've done on Paint as well, and I've got some of my kids' stuff up on there, you can find me at Fucko on Instagram, at Fucko on Threads, and at Fucko on the Twitter. Come and have a
please,
look.
Please don't go and search for at Fucko on any of those, because Boyd does not have that handle on any of those fucking sites. Yeah, he's just a Fucko.
At Buds 83, boys.
For me, at Aussie Suns Fans on Twitter, at Aussie Suns Fans on Facebook, on YouTube. If you haven't clicked the like button, you're a fucking cunt. We don't like you anymore. All you have to do is hit the fucking like. It takes 1 second. Fuck's sake.
That's the first C-bomb of the episode.
It might be, but I'm just really upset that record, people don't hit the like button. Jeez, it's not that hard to hit the like button, guys. Fuck's sake. At Aussie Suns Fans, follow us. And remember, most importantly, as per always, we've been here. We are Boyd, Gavin and Hamo, and we're not here to fuck spiders.
Gets in, another wide open three. Suns, Pierre Cardin. Suns, the first of Booker for the long range. P-H-O-E-N-I-X. Phoenix Suns, and you know we up next. Yeah, yeah, we working for that championship ring. We the Valley, it ain't nothing but a thing. P-H-O-E-N-I-X. Phoenix Suns, and you know we up next. Yeah, yeah, we working for that championship ring.